the moment. Last week we studied Jesus' power and the ability he had to cast out demons. It was an interesting discussion, and I know that we would like to have had more discussion on what demons are, were, and so forth. And it really wasn't the purpose of the lesson to look at the subject of demons, but rather that the power that Jesus had to cast them out, people were overpowered by them, shall we call it that. And some good comments were made about it. I thought later, as I do many times, a thought that would have been good, I think anyway, to mention. And the thought was brought up, are demons in people around today? My position is that no, demons no longer overpower people, if you put it that way. And not to get into a long discussion of it, but just to make this point that I should have made in my viewpoint last week, and that is that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, was buried and rose, he overcame and, you might say, bound Satan. Satan does not have the power that he had before Jesus was raised from the dead, ascended on high. And so, that being the case, after the New Testament word, or God's word, was completed, and all the miracles that were necessary to confirm the word, then Satan no longer has the ability, or demons have no longer have the ability to overpower people. Now, that's my viewpoint. I just thought I'll let you know a little bit of why I said what I did last week. Demons is a subject. Angels and demons both is a subject that's been discussed for years. And I have a brother-in-law that wrote a book on it. If you want to read it, it's the last word. No. I'm kidding. His last word, right. Lesson number 11 is the power over death. Before we get into discussion of this, let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the ability to come here in the name of Jesus, to look at your word that has been left for us to understand what he did while he was here, before he was crucified. We're thankful for that crucifixion in the sense that it was the life that he gave in the place of us having to pay for our own sins. We're thankful for the power that he had to work the miracles and the apostles to confirm what they said, what they did. And we pray that we will receive comfort, strength, and faith to understand these things that will help us in our lives today. Be with us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Lesson 11. The top of the page there, it says Jesus' power over death. The lesson aim. The next section, the next sentence there. Study. The lesson aim says study the greatest of Jesus' miracles, those in which he raised the dead. I have a question. Raising people from the dead, is that the greatest of Jesus' miracles? You may think I'm nuts, but that's what I thought of as a question. Was it any harder for Jesus to raise the dead than it was for him to than it was for him to heal people of leprosy? Or wasn't any harder, was it? I think I know what the people who wrote this have in mind, but probably excuse me, probably, and I don't know, but probably There are people who claim they can do miracles today, but none of them have ever raised anybody from the dead. That would really be something great. Greater than other miracles? I don't think so, but anyway. You see what I'm getting at? I heard somebody agree with me, I think. Mo. Yeah. Many of them were. Okay. Bill? Yeah. I don't know what what your connection to raising the dead is, but maybe I'm missing it. Okay. Yes. The dead we're talking about here is not dead in sin, but that's a good point to think about, Ted. You think it made more impression on the person, the people, when somebody's raised from the dead than it was on the person who had leprosy and was healed? Is that blind? Whatever. Is that the point? I think that's why he says that it's the greatest. I it's my opinion. I don't think that it's any greater miracle to heal a person of leprosy or to heal a person of blindness than it is to raise a person from the dead. If you've got the power to work miracles, you can do it all. Doesn't see any more hands? Okay. Well, that was just a crazy thought of mine when I read that. Why did he call it the greatest? That's all right. If you want to call it the greatest, I won't bicker with you. Quickly for the question for review. Number one, what did Jesus see in Nain? Nain is a name of a city south of Nazareth. He saw a funeral procession. He saw meaning that there was somebody dead, right? And the dead person was being carried out to be buried. Why did Jesus raise the boy from the dead? Yeah, this is one of the places where it actually says Jesus felt compassion on the... is this the one that his mother was a widow? Her only son. Number three is kind of a funny question in one sense, but what is the bier? Coffin. King James Version, and I looked at several versions. I was surprised at how many have that word bier rather than coffin, because it's not something you hear today, or at least I don't. And so maybe that's why he asked the question, is what is it? Yes. Well, maybe not a coffin like we think of a coffin, but have you seen the people in India? They wrap the body. It's not in a coffin. Maybe not, they don't do it. All of them don't do it. And they carry it on what I'd say is a stretcher. That's a bier. The word coffin is an English word that probably throws us off. So that's why maybe a lot of the versions have the word beer rather than coffin, although some of the more modern modern versions do use the word cotton. Okay. Number four, what did those who saw this think about Jesus? Saw what? Saw the miracle. He raised the young fellow from the dead. And so what did the people think about it when they saw it there in the city of Nain? Okay, a great prophet among us. Was there another comment made also? God has visited us. Are they getting the idea that Jesus is somebody unique? Why would they say or think that? Just not everybody goes around raising people from the dead, did they? Okay. And so that again relates to our theme here in this particular lesson is that, and all the other lessons really, I'm talking about the miracles of Jesus, is that this signifies something about the person who does the miracles. Mo? Okay. Okay, somehow or other I missed that. Okay, I missed that. I read all through these passages, but I don't remember seeing that fear gripped the crowd is one, verse 16 of Luke 7. Okay. Fear or awe is a word that Mo also used, A-W-E. If you've been in that procession, and you saw this fellow that was being carried out dead, would it have amazed you? I don't know how I'd have reacted, but I think I'd, whatever they did or were, in their reactions, I would too. In the book of Acts, signs, wonders, miracles, are called wonders sometimes, meaning that it causes wonder. Now, I think that's this idea here in Luke 7. These people, amazement, maybe be a better word than wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R. So what we're seeing here is something that is an unusual event. Miracles are something that were unusual. So the people have some knowledge, I guess is the word to use, of Old Testament. Did anybody raise the dead in the Old Testament? They did, didn't they? And what were they? It's kind of an odd question. How did I put it? They were prophets. And so it says, they said, a great prophet is among us. And it was the prophet of the Old Testament. Can you think of any that raised the dead? Elisha? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, I was going to say, check me on and see whether or not Elijah raised somebody from the dead as well. I might be wrong about that. Okay, so that's the first raising of the dead, of the widow's son. The second one is Jairus' daughter. And in your sheet there, you have Matthew 9 and Mark 5. If you want to, you can put Luke 8. They left off Luke 8 there. And Jairus' daughter is found in three of the accounts. Okay, this sheet's not as bad as it was last week where there was misprints or whatever. He just left off some of the accounts. Jairus' daughter. Who was Jairus? That's what first question 5 says. Synagogue official. Synagogue, some versions say it's the ruler of the synagogue. what did he ask of Jesus? Before we answer that, do we know what a ruler of the synagogue's job was, or what he did that caused him to be the ruler of the synagogue? He what? No, he wasn't the high priest. He told people where to sit? That's part of it. I should have looked it up a little more, but I didn't. I just now thought of, do we really know what the ruler of the synagogue was? He was an officiating official. Yes. Yes. That's probably right. They had scrolls of the Old Testament, and you remember Jesus was at a synagogue, and he had a scroll brought to him, and he read from it and handed it, and the scrolls were put back in their place. And that's probably a part of the ruler of the synagogues. But Karen's right too. I don't know how much they did it, but how they ushered the people in or not. But in the synagogues, women sat here, men sat there, and so forth. So there was a certain seating arrangement as well. And that reminds me of James. What did James say about people coming in and sitting in your synagogue? Your assembly, actually, the word means. Okay, so they would say, oh, come on up right up here, the best seat in the house, because they were rich. And James talked about that. All right, you remember that. What did he, this ruler, guy by the name of Jairus, what did he ask of Jesus? He says, come to my house, what for? He had a daughter. The guy says, is dying. And, pardon me? His only daughter. So we had an only son of the widow, and now we have the only daughter. How old was she? She was 12 years old. So, Jairus comes to Jesus. Come to my house, please. My daughter's dying. So Jesus starts to follow him to his house. Something intervened there that's not in our lesson here, but Jesus was delayed. You remember what that was? Did you read through and see what happened there? Okay, the woman who had, some versions put an issue of blood, hemorrhaging, and what did she do? She touched his garment. There was a crowd around him, and she came up and touched his garment. Did Jesus make a big deal out of it? Yeah, in one sit. Who touched me? And she came forward and they said that she did. She believed what? Now, this is not on death, but I just touches the hem of his garment, I believe some persons say, and she would be healed. So, and that's something else about it. Mind-boggling about Jesus. If I come up and touch your coat here, would you feel anything other than that maybe you felt that somebody touched you? Lysander? Yeah, what'd he do? He felt the power of the miracle, I guess is one way of saying it. Leaving him to heal her. That boggles my mind. I don't understand that. That's beyond almost my comprehension. But I understand. And so, I mean, that he didn't just feel or touch it like this, but he felt his power being used to heal her of her malady. Was there something else? Go ahead, Lisa. Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it doesn't have to do with raising the dead, but let's look at the wording there. In Luke, I'm going to look at Luke 8, verse 40. That's where Jesus, Jairus comes to Jesus. Verse 43 in Luke 8, a woman having an issue of blood is what this version says. For 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians and they couldn't heal her. He came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of her blood stopped. The old version I'm reading here. And Jesus said, "Who is it that touched me?" And all denied it. Peter said, and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitudes press thee and crush thee." Oh, it's all people here. And you ask a question like that? I'm adding to Peter's thought here. But Jesus, verse 46, said, "Someone did touch me, for I perceived that power had gone forth from me." Now, that's just the Old American Standard Version, and that's how he says he perceived. Anybody have a different? I'm in Luke 8. Okay. Okay, so there's an addition to what? Okay. So, okay. All I'm getting at is he could, without even feeling the power going out, as this version says, he would have known who did it. But that's not the point here. It says someone did touch me, for I perceived, this version says, that the power had gone forth from me. So in some way, Jesus indicates that he knew by feeling the power of working a miracle going from him. Now, I don't know what the question was or the comment, but does that help? We shall go on. Anyway, she came forward, identified herself. Joyce says, Matthew says, he saw her falling down before him. He declared in all the presence of all the people for what cause she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he told her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." So he says, you had the right kind of faith to come because you believed I could do it. Okay, so that was in the middle now. Jairus has come to Jesus and says, "My daughter is dying." There's a time period there. How much? We're not sure, but he was delayed. And that's verse 6, is who delayed Jesus on his way to Jairus' daughter, and it was the woman. What happened during delay, and what did Jesus do? He healed the woman. And these questions, don't ask the question, did Jesus go ahead and heal Jairus' daughter? Pardon me? Okay. She has died. Oh, she died. Did he heal her or did he raise her from the dead? All right. When Jesus said she's not dead but asleep, is death sometimes described as sleep? Yes. But the point is, she wasn't really asleep. She was dead. But what difference does it make whether a person's asleep or whether they're dead that Jesus has power to wake them up or to raise them? Jesus could just as easily raise a person from the dead as he could wake somebody up that's just sleeping, right? So anyway, the phrase is used like that. That's all I'm getting at. But our questions here don't tell us whether or not, or don't ask us whether or not Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead by Jesus. But you, as I think I saw some of the head nodding, he did do that, okay? Okay, and that's the point. Did Jesus go in and tell the other people, or did he go in by where the daughter was by himself with her father? James and John. Peter and John. Yeah, I know what you're saying. So, Jesus, the people went with Jesus, but he went into where the daughter was with her father, Peter and John, and her mother. There you go. Okay. Well, he raised her from the dead. That's the point here. Number eight has to do with Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And that's, who is Lazarus? Number eight. Who was he? Okay, Mary and Martha's brother. And what was his relationship to Jesus? I heard somebody answer it. He was a friend. A good friend. what did you say, Mo? All right. What did Jesus tell his disciples had happened to Lazarus? Okay. He's just asleep, kind of like it was the little girl. What did Jesus say he would do? Go wake him up. Okay, so death is sometimes, as we said, described as sleep. And how long had Lazarus been in the tomb? We all remember that. 4 days. And what did Jesus do when he arrived at the tomb of Lazarus? Jesus wept. And then he what? He didn't call him out right this minute. He rolled the stone away. If he'd called him out, I guess he could call him out and the stone said to still stay there, but that's not. Lazarus is not going to be able to walk out if the stone's still there. So he rolled the stone away. So that's what they did. And he said, yeah, he could have rolled it away. Lazarus, come forth. And so Lazarus did, but he was still bound in the burial clothing, claws, or whatever you want to call it. So Jesus said what? Unloose him. Okay. So all a familiar account to us. Jesus, so that's three people, the widow's son, Jairus' daughter. I pronounce that name every which way you can think of. I listened to a fellow read this scripture the other day. He's pretty good at his pronunciation. He called it Jairus' daughter. But anyway, so the widow's son, Jairus' daughter, and Lazarus raised from the dead. Ted? Okay, what? Yeah, I've heard that. Dad called him by name. Tombs then were not, you know, buried underneath the ground. It was like a cave. And a tomb would have several places for bodies to be placed. And it was kind of like a shelf inside the tomb. And so Dad is making what I've heard is kind of a funny, that Jesus had to call his name Lazarus, or the other dead people in there would have come out too. You know. If you got that. All right. Anything else on Lazarus? Yeah. Not in the lesson. I'm not going to answer. No, I'm kidding. He empathized with whom? Mary and Martha particularly, but the people also were at Mary and Martha's house before they went out of the tomb were weeping. The people were in a state of mourning, and Jesus had enough empathy for them that he wept. Other reasons may be that they did not understand, as Mary and Martha did not, that when they came to him and said, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But, yeah. Right. He could have saved him. And so that maybe that's also involved in his weeping. Go ahead, Ted. He wept because he hadn't called him yet? Oh. I haven't heard that, so I don't know what to say. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah. If you were in paradise, as Ted is mentioning, where dead bodies go, would you be sad to come back? Depends on the situation, doesn't it? Okay, was there another hand up?
Verse 33, before Jesus wept, he was deeply moved in the spirit when he was baptized. So it's already the emotions were already building up to that. What he said, why he was deeply moved in the spirit, he still has the spirit of baptism.
Yeah, probably a part of it is they were very close. I mean, he calls him his friend. And Mary and Martha were very, very close with all three of them. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are all very close to Jesus. Gail? By delaying his coming, you mean? That's probably it. I mean, if there's some might have said, well, he died an hour ago, and Jesus came and rested. Well, he wasn't really dead then. What? I don't know. Mo? Yeah, yeah. When he said roll the stone, or when. And I can't remember exactly, pinpoint it. Anyway, they said, well, he's been in there 4 days, and so he's already begun to stink. And Jesus said, roll it away. Come forth, Lazarus. Okay. So even though the body's decaying, it didn't prevent Jesus from raising somebody from the dead. John, Brian?
John 11, 13, verse 12. The disciples said to him, Lord, if you had fallen asleep, he will be covered.
Yeah. And
faith is a big part of this.
That you may believe, and didn't. And is this the one where Jesus thanked his Father that he was able to do this, that they might believe? Okay, so that's the. Okay, the miracles were to confirm who the guy was, but to confirm, to do that, to produce faith in a person. Mary? So we got two or three accounts that didn't say how long the widow's son was dead. But we got two accounts where one of them, on the way to his house, he was sick. On the way to her house, he died. The girl died. This one, he's been dead for 4 days. So they're making whether it's just died or whether it's 4 days, Jesus can raise a person from the dead. What did Jesus, let's see. Verse 12, number 12. What did the woman find when they visited the tomb of Jesus? Now we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. Number 4 of the list up there. And you might add to those scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four record some of the resurrection of Jesus. One's a little more extensive than the other. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. Okay, so what did the women find when they visited the tomb of Jesus on the first day of the week? Okay. Yeah, so the first thing is they noticed the stone was rolled away. Does everybody understand? I don't have to draw your picture here, do you? What a stone a tomb is? You've seen pictures of it in your mind? The entrance to the tomb, as I said a while ago, there could be several places for people to be laid in the tomb. And the entrance to the tomb would have a stone rolled over it. And some of them are this tall. You roll it back, you may have to stoop to get in, but it would be a large stone. And the women couldn't have moved it, is the impression I get, but that's another thought. What response did the 11 give to the report of these women? These women went back and said, they doubted. One version says, they thought it was nonsense. Okay, they didn't believe it. To whom did Jesus appear after he was raised? Spend a little bit of time telling about all these, won't we? Okay, the women, the apostles, two men on the road to Emmaus. Pardon me? Thomas, yeah, later, yeah. James, all the apostles. How many brethren? 500. And one you haven't named. I'm throwing you off because we're... Okay, Saul on the road to Damascus. Okay. Number five in up here, those raised when Jesus died. This is kind of... It's not Jesus' miracle, I mean, in the sense that he goes and raises the Lazarus, or he goes and raises the daughter. But what happened when others were raised from the dead about this time? When were others raised from the dead? It's the when. When Jesus died on the cross and the veil was torn in the temple, people came out of the tomb. Okay. Okay, so they went into this, and they went into the city. Well, we don't have time to pursue that, really. What do you think the significance of what my question was going to be of people being raised when Jesus crucified? That may be a possibility. I hadn't thought of that. Doesn't mean just because I don't think of it, it's not good. Well, you have to show me the scripture on that, Bill. People who have their sins forgiven can die and go to paradise. But we need to go on from that. Yeah, Kelly.
I'm not sure what all that centurion saw, but it does mention this, and when it says he saw these things, he said, "Truly, this is a righteous man." Okay.
I don't know exactly what all it signifies that these people came out of the tomb, but Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. And when these people came out, and this is later, but when these people came out of the tomb, would that signify that there is some power over death, even though Jesus is on the cross crucified? I don't know if that's any good answer or comment or not. Mo, and then we've got to quit.
Yeah.
the saints, the people who had been set apart by God. Okay. The only question for thought is number one, what purpose did these miracles of raising the dead serve? We've answered and talked about that with all these miracles, so what is it?
Glorify God.
That's one answer. Nothing beyond the power of God. Time's up. One more. No. Pardon me? Confirm their faith. Show anything about Jesus or whoever did the miracle? That he is the Son of God. Okay, need to hand out lesson number 12. For next week, I'm sorry our time got away from us there. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. It says here, determine the nature of the authority of Jesus had over all things as is expressed in his authority over the Sabbath. So you'll take a copy of that, pass it back. Our time's gone. Appreciate your comments and questions and participation. Appreciate it.